Hey, loyal listener to Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Thank you for being there every week. I so appreciate you. And if it's your first time listening to the show, well, I invite you to go and subscribe on iTunes, because when you do that, every week when there's a new episode, it'll be automatically downloaded on your phone. And before we go on with this week's episode, I just wanted to, tease you a little bit, because I'm working on something right now, and you'll probably know in the next couple of days. It's something that has to do with my area of expertise, and also because a lot of people ask me questions about this subject. So if you're curious to know more about it, well, stay tuned, subscribe on the podcast, because that's one of the ways you'll get noticed when everything will be ready. So yeah, stay tuned. That's the only thing I can tell you. Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast, episode 241.
This is the place where successful entrepreneurs share their hustle to get where they are today. Discover how not taking no for an answer led them to achieve their goals. Learn about who inspired them and how they use marketing to crush it in their business. Get financial, spiritual, emotional, and physical tips that are working for them right now. This is the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Here's Fabienne Raphael.
Joel Caparella, and we discuss stories, we discuss marketing, we discuss how to find out about your big idea. I know it's a struggle that a lot of online business owners have. They teach something that other people also are teaching, and then they're wondering, well, how can I make this different? Why should people listen to me? So we discussed that during this interview, which is filled again with great content and lots of laughing. Because, Joel has a good sense of humor, and you know I do too. So enjoy this, and I'll see you at the back end. What's up, All-Star Team? Welcome to another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Today, my guest is Joel Caparella, and Joel has over 20 years of strategic marketing experience. He helps create habits that connect story to sales and helps clients grab crazy amounts of attention and have more conversations with the right people so they generate more revenue more quickly. He serves entrepreneurs, small businesses, and marketing teams of all sizes. So Joel, welcome to the show.
I mean, thanks so much for having me. I enjoy the show, and I'm so pleased to be on.
All right. So, well, my first question is about family, Joel, because you know that a lot of entrepreneurs or a lot of people still in the 9-to-5 hesitate to start their business because they have kids. Mm-hmm. And I know you have 8. So is it because you have 8 kids that you started your business?
Yes, I do indeed. It's, you know, it's funny. You know, if you have 2, maybe 3 kids, nobody seems to say anything about it. But when you once you tell somebody you have 8, everybody's got a comment about it. So I really appreciate you bringing that up, right? Because it's a story. You know, I'm a big believer in stories. So it's a story I like to tell. You know, interestingly, my youngest are 2.5-year-old twins. And and I'm not going to, you know, lie to you. They were a bit of a surprise. The pregnancy was a bit of a surprise to my wife and I. And the fact that they were twins was even larger surprise. So, you know what? Actually, they were the catalyst to actually make me, you know, actually go out and take that step that I'd been longing to take my entire life. And it was a great motivator. And also some people say, well, maybe the worst timing. And you know, that might be true depending upon how you look at it, but it's been the most rewarding and great thing I've ever done. And it actually has helped my family life, believe it or not.
Wow. Because like a lot of people sometimes wait for the right moment, but I mean, as long as you just take action, then things start happening.
Yes, yes. And I'm sure, you know, you can tell your audience just as I could that there is really no right moment now, is there?
Exactly. No, not at all. So in your introduction, actually, I said that you help entrepreneurs talk more to the right people. And I'm sure some people listening to that just felt a huge relief, because when they start, sometimes they have to accept clients that they would not accept if their, let's say, financial situation was better. So could you tell them how they could start doing, start attracting their good client like more often?
Sure. And listen, I mean, the foundation for everything I do all revolves around the story that we're communicating to our marketplace, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people talk about story, but what a lot of people don't necessarily connect the dots to is the fact that, look, we remember by story. You know, there's you think of a song that you hear that takes you back to your younger days, or a smell, a fragrance that kind of reminds you of a boyfriend or girlfriend from years ago, right? Like these things connect us mm-hmm. to moments in time, right? So, and people underappreciate the dramatic nature of who we are as human beings, right? So what I try to help people understand is, listen, and it's tough to do, especially when you're first starting out, right? Because you're so worried about paying the bills and getting new customers and making this thing work that you're focused completely on yourself. So it's a challenge, right? Mm-hmm. So what I always suggest is, listen, you have to put yourselves almost completely in the shoes of who you're serving. And what would you want to know if you were them? And how does it matter to their lives? And how can you communicate that, you know, consistently, frequently, and easily?
Mm-hmm. And you say also that when telling a story, people have to go beyond the pain to solution approach. So what do you mean by that?
So, you know, I always use this example, right? When I was a lad, it was summertime, and my dad worked for Philadelphia Electric Company, and he was kind of a blue collar type guy. He would mm-hmm. get up early in the morning and come home late at night, so he knew a little bit about hard work. So one summer morning, he was leaving for work, and a little later than usual. I don't know what was going on that particular day, but I was out with some friends, and you know, I had a very active neighborhood as a child, so there's lots of young people around playing and enjoying their summer. And it happened to be trash day, and some of the kids in the neighborhood used to like make fun of the trash guys, right? Mm-hmm. And my dad told me, he used to chase these kids away first of all and kind of chastise them for doing so. I never really thought much about it, but one day he told me, he's like, "Do you know why we can't make fun of the trash guys?" I'm like, "Well, I didn't really think about it one way or the other." Mm-hmm. He goes, "Because what they're doing is far more than what you say." He said, "What they're doing is they're adding to the value of our home. They're protecting the health and safety of our community, and they're making it a safer, healthier place for you, your siblings, and your friends to live in. So when you look at them and the job they're doing, that's what you need to look at, not this menial labor that you wouldn't want to do. They have an important job, it's a hard job, and it makes a big difference to the people that live on this street and indeed in our community." So when I say don't connect the dots in a cookie cutter way, you have to look beyond the immediacy to mm-hmm. find that mm-hmm. that drama, right, that's inherent in everything we do.
Mm-hmm. And talking about drama, because you know it, a lot of entrepreneurs, when they start, or when they expose their story, they have had drama in their lives, for example, or something like very, very critical that happened to them. And some people don't have that. So how do people find their own dramas?
That's a good question as well, because, you know, that look, this is why, you know, between you and me, this is why I'm in business, right? Because people inherently don't believe that they have faced drama or have drama in their lives, right? Mm. And I actually don't believe that's true. I think we could all find the deeper meaning of even the littlest things that we do yeah. on a daily basis, right? So, you know, it's funny, right before we got on the phone, there's a gentleman here in the Philadelphia area who I help out, and I sent him, I have a little exercise that I put clients through before we even start working. And it's kind of like a, hey, listen, you know, put yourself in a room, quiet, 10 minutes, and just start to write out all the things that goes into every little detail of what your product or your service does. Now, he's a videographer and a post-production type guy, right? And on face value, he might get stuck in the, well, that's boring. I'm not going to include, you know, the way I use a certain dissolve on Adobe Premiere Pro or mm-hmm. Final Cut or something like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I challenge him to know, like, talk about why you use that dissolve, where you learned it, right, why it's important, the dramatic effect that you seek to create with it, and then some examples of when you've used that particular technique, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and because what you find within hidden in those details is the art of what we do, right? And I, you know, people, you know, kind of joke around with me that I see art in everything, but I really do, right? Because I think what we do, no matter how minuscule we think it is, there's a lot of people out there that can't do it, right? So there's a technique and an art and a beauty to everything that we're doing. So we can't find that and uncover it unless we dive into the details.
Mm-hmm. So you would really invite people to dive into, like, what's deep, what's under actually their main idea or their main part of the story, just not stay on the surface. Because when you were talking about the garbage men, it was the way your dad expressed it to you. It was like it added value. It, like, his work was just adding a lot of value. And I'm sure that you had so much more respect for people doing that type of job after hearing your dad talking about it. So it's all with the perspective and the way we express it.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, I'll give you another example. I was pulling into a coffee, I'm not sure if it was Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or something, but there was a guy backing up an 18-wheeler, and it's in a very busy intersection, right? And he's backing up the 18-wheeler that has all the supplies for that Dunkin' Donuts. And I was watching him do it, and it was a highly trafficked area. It was rush hour, like in the morning. So I kind of sat there in my car and watched him. And when I got out of the car, I went over to him, and I said, hey, listen, I have to ask you, was that – it looks really stressful doing that. Are you just kind of accustomed to it? You've gotten it down, or does that stress you out? And he looked at me with like this relief, as if he was happy that someone asked me. He goes, it stresses me out every time.
Oh my God.
He said, right? So now think about that guy, right? He's just like, that's his job. He's got to like navigate that so he's safe, the people in the other cars are safe, and on and on. So, you know, if we take a minute to think through every step of what's happening, I guarantee you're going to find some drama in there.
Yeah. Let's talk. Well, it's still storytelling related, but let's say an online business owner that has to find a way to express what he wants to share with the world. And of course, well, he takes the topic of online marketing, and there's a ton of people doing exactly the same thing as he does. So people are often blocked by how to find their big idea or a specific angle to attack the thing. So the information is not necessarily new, but it's unique as with, you know, the way the person expresses it. So what type of advice would you give to someone struggling to find their big idea?
I love that question, right? I am a big Gary Vaynerchuk fan. I know a lot of people are, right? Mm-hmm. But what I like most about Gary isn't his insight. I mean, I like his insight and inspirational stuff. I certainly do, right? But what I like most about what he does is the attention that he places on leveraging each media platform for its strength, right? So let me give you a great example. I just did a webinar earlier this morning for a bunch of recruiters, right, about this whole idea of injecting story into how they recruit. And Gary Vaynerchuk has a series he calls The Daily V. It's a daily video blog where a cameraman follows him around on his busy day. Well, about 6 months ago, maybe 9 months ago, he in one of the episodes, he was showing you how at VaynerMedia, his large media agency in New York, he introduced a role called Chief Heart Officer. And the woman was put into place because they were having some growing pains, and he really cared and wanted to give some attention to the workforce, right? Now, fast forward 9 months later, he dedicated an entire episode of The Daily V. He wasn't in it hardly at all. It was all about this woman, her name's Claude Silver, I think her name is, who's the chief heart officer at VaynerMedia, right? So now listen, here's what I love about that. And this is a long-winded answer to your question, right, about what someone who thinks their service isn't necessarily differentiating. Here's where the connection is, right? That is, if the under on face value, that happens at every organization, right? We have people that specialize, you know, how big or small, it doesn't matter, that specialize in employee engagement, making sure our employees are heard, maybe making sure the hiring process is right, all the necessities of having, you know, more than a handful of employees, right? But what Gary did with that is he connected it to who he is as who he wants to be as an employer, and then he doubled down on that investment by elevating her effort for all his audience to see. And listen, is that differentiating? Is it unique? I mean, really, it's not, right? Because every company that has more than a handful of employees experiences and understands that. The difference is that he capitalized and leveraged the media available to him to make that accessible to his audience. So anyway, the bottom line, I think, Fabian, is that we have to leverage the media options and not be afraid. We're not going to be great at it at first, but let's leverage them because they're so easy to just communicate the story. And what we find over time is we'll find our comfort zone, which one we're good at, which one resonates most with our audience, and then we'll get better and better at it. But until and unless we do it on a consistent basis, we never have that opportunity. That's what differentiates.
It's funny that you talk about that because when I was thinking about the questions that I wanted to ask you, is in one of your videos, you were saying that the media strategy needs attention to details, and that's what you describe in a certain way. And I listened to that video, and I love the story you were telling there about how you were able to sell your pool table and yeah. how. So I want you to share it with my audience and then tell them how many lessons they can learn from this.
Thank you for watching that. That was a So for your audience's benefit that hasn't seen this, I have a video series I called Cap's Car Chaos. It's like a 2 to 3 minute video type thing that I do. And this episode that you're referring to, my wife and I had a pool table. And as you mentioned earlier, I have 8 kids. So we're running out of room for the pool table. And we don't use it much, right? So we decided to sell it.
The twins don't play yet?
No, they're not playing yet. I'm not gonna, you know, and actually one was hustling the other. So I thought that was a bad thing to, a bad habit to build. So at any rate, we wanted to get rid of this pool table. So first I'm like, well, I'll put it up on Craigslist, I think I started with. But then I thought, well, gee, I really want to – it's a nice table. I want to get a couple dollars for it. I just want to give it away. So I spent about 10, 15 minutes on the internet looking for tips on selling a pool table. So what I found was, hey, if you're selling a pool table, here's the things that people that are in the market care about. The size and type of slate that it uses, how the rails are constructed, what the, you know, the age of the felt, you know, when the table was purchased, how frequently it's used, and on. So that's what I did first. I used that information to craft the post correctly, but then I put it on Craigslist, I put it on eBay, and then Facebook has a marketplace, a lot of local garage sale type sites, but then a more of a generic marketplace, and I must have put it on about 40 of them in my area. And the point is, and the lesson that I learned from it, and oh, by the way, the table, I sold the table in 3 days, right, for the price I wanted.
Good.
So I was happy about that. My wife was ecstatic. I was out of the house,
of course.
Right? But the lesson I learned from that is if I had, and actually here's what sparked the lesson. I had a guy call me towards the end of the week saying he was offering me a certain amount of money and hassling me because I wasn't taking his offer. And he was saying, well, you know, pool tables are really hard to move and you can't, you know, nobody wants to buy them and on. But I already had like 3 offers at that point, mm-hmm. right? And I thought to myself, once the transaction was all done with the guy I sold it to, was if had I not paid attention to the detail of what people care about when they're in the market for this, had I not placed it on broadly and as widely as possible, had I not hit up my own Facebook community to ask them to share it, and on, I might not have – I probably wouldn't have moved it, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what motivated the CarCast that day is when we're communicating our perspective, our service offerings, answering a question, whatever it is, the attention to the level of detail that we're offering makes a significant difference. And what I was saying in that episode is, look, that it's tedious, right? I mean, nobody wants to pay attention to, you know, there's some people out there that love the minutiae and the details. I'm not one of them, right? So it's it can be tedious work, right? But in the tedium is found little steps of success. That's what I found.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And let me just transfer that into, let's say, someone who has an online business and wants to attract their perfect client, for example. So what you're saying now is that a great, let's say you evaluated, you researched, you knew what your potential buyer was looking for. So mm-hmm. you were able to put that into your post. And then when you accepted the offer, you were sure that it was the best client that had bought your yes. pool table. So it's exactly the same thing when you're spreading your message, let's say online, well, you want to attract that perfect client. So you might as well be well informed about that specific client. So if we talk sales, then it's not necessarily a pushy sale, but it's people come to you instead of you going after them. So what's your take on selling, actually? Should storytelling be enough to sell, or do you need something else?
What, you know what, and again, this is why I wanted to be on the show, because you're really skillful at how you kind of guide the interview, right? Because it's a perfect place for us to be right now in our conversation, right?
Yeah.
Because the what I believe and what I help my clients achieve is when you create and communicate, obviously we want greater awareness and we want our marketing funnel filled up and we want our list built. Those are all important things, right? Mm-hmm. But I sincerely believe that everything we create should be used you know, in the sales process, right? So I kind of, you know, list building is important. I think to get there, you write towards the sales process first, and then it will inherently build up the funnel. And I think, you know, does this very well. He was actually on your show, and oh shoot, his name's escaping me. He's a speaker. He teaches people how to get booked for speaking.
Grant Baldwin or Grant Baldwin. Michael Port. Okay, Grant.
Yes,
Baldwin.
Grant Baldwin. And I don't know Grant, but I've seen some of his work, right? And he's crystal clear. I'm not sure if he practices this, but from outside looking in, it looks like he does. When he communicates, it's all about ultimately getting to his program, which teaches you how to get booked to speak, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't pull any punches about that yet. It's very informative and valuable. So in other words, if I didn't end up joining his course, right, I'm still going to get the value out of what I watched leading up to that, because he's very, and Amy Porterfield does a really good job as well, right? Yeah. Her webinars, just going to her webinars alone. Matter of fact, I would encourage your audience, go look at her webinars, because those aren't marketing webinars. She's selling, but she's telling you the story of where she came from and how she made it work and some of the steps to take. And look, you know, and it's really great stuff. So it's all ordered towards the sales process. So I think you tell that story in the natural flow of how people evaluate and buy. And if you do that, the people that are predisposed to value the service offering are naturally going to listen better, right? So it kind of kills two birds with one stone.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, I love the fact that we talk about that, because this week I was reading The 60 Seconds Sales Hook by Kevin Rogers. And in it, he was mentioning how when someone tells you a story, how a specific part of your brain gets like more careful about, and then even like what you, the hormones that you have in your body and the way you feel connected with the person telling you the story changes. Yes. So how you connect better with people when it's with this way that they share their message and they share value with you, because as human beings, that's what we want, be connected to each other.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And I had a woman, Christine Comerford, on my show, and she's a behavioral psychologist. Mm-hmm. And she talks about that very same thing, is that, listen, our brains are wired to kind of, you know, go into higher receptive mode if we have and understand the natural drama and what's going on.
Yeah. And then I'm hearing like people from my audience shouting right now, yeah, but it's not easy to be vulnerable, or it's not easy to share, you know, what, some personal stuff or some failures and stuff like that. So how would you answer to that?
Yeah, that's a good one too. Look, I think you have to be comfortable with who you are, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, look, I listened to, since I started to do this, I listened to tons of you know, I listen to a lot of books on audio, right? When I'm in the car and whatnot, I use whatever that service is, Audible, I guess it
Audible,
is.
Audible, yeah.
Yeah, and I've listened to a ton of books that talk about like your confidence and things like that, because that, to me, that's the biggest – that's my biggest obstacle, right? Is that while I know and I'm quite confident in what I do, when you expose yourself to a larger audience, sometimes you could second guess it. Mm-hmm. You know, another thing I discovered when I got into this was that selling is hard work. You know, I supported salespeople my entire career as a marketing professional, but now when you're the master of both those trades, right? Yeah. Like selling, you have to quickly understand that there's a lot more no's than there are yeses, and that hurts one's confidence, right? Mm-hmm. So what I've discovered, matter of fact, I'm listening to, I didn't know much about him before, about a month ago, but I've been listening to a lot of Grant Cardone stuff lately, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And he's not for everybody, because he's kind of a brash, kind of bombastic
character. Yeah, it's
character,
very,
right?
yeah.
So he's not for everybody, right? But what I like about him is he's like a pull no punches guy, as far as, listen, you have to be sold on what you do and what you're all about. And I think there's a lot to be said about that. And he's not the only one talking about that. Lots of, and again, we talked about Gary Vaynerchuk. Gary talks about the same thing.
Yes.
So it's a level of being comfortable and confident with what you do. And once you are, then it's easier, right? Because then you're taking you're not taking risk, because you know what you're all about. You know what you're communicating, and you're sharing it.
Mm-hmm. And I know some people felt better just listening to you saying that, because it's a struggle for a lot of people when they're starting their online business, especially.
It is. I mean, I don't know how you've managed it, but that's been my biggest hurdle, is like, wow, I just realized that the selling thing, I've never really done it before, so it's not easy.
Yeah, it's not. I totally relate to that. So, Joel, if people want to connect with you, if they want to know more about you and what you offer, where should they go?
I'm glad you asked. So listen, we just talked about this whole idea of confidence and that it helps you to increase your the way you're sharing. So I actually have a half hour kind of session that talks about how you could use content to actually improve and increase your confidence. And what that does, it really helps you connect more broadly. It helps you get better at what you're sharing. So they could actually build a landing page just for your crowd. So if they go to joelcap, that's joelcap.com/crush, they're going to find that webinar. So it's about increasing confidence. And then through there, you're going to get more sales opportunities, more awareness. But the awesome thing about it, it's all done through creating content and tapping into your story. So that's what I would offer for them. joelcap.com/crush.
All right. Thank you so much, Joel. That was it. That was very, very good. Actually, I really enjoyed it. And it was filled with a lot of stories again. See?
Great. Well, listen, thank you very much for having me. Is there anything I could do on this side? I'm happy to do it. And if your audience wants to ask me any questions, they're free to hit me up as well. You could always find me on Twitter or whatever the social platform they prefer.
All right. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Again, filled with value, and that it will help you find your own story. Consider that, yes, you do have something to say, and people will buy from you because of who you are, where you come from, and what you have to share with the world. So as I was telling you at the beginning of the episode, you really have to stay tuned on my podcast, because in the next few days, I'll let you know about something that might help you, especially if you're a blogger, if you're a podcaster, if you're an author, or if you're looking to find a great way to create great content for your audience. So I won't say more. I'll tell you to tune in, right? And I want to thank you for being there again for another episode, and I'll see you next week for the next episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Take care, right?